Thank you. Be seated. Justice Hankinson will not participate in the deliberation or decision of this matter. The court is ready to hear oral argument from the relator.
May it please the court, Mr. Joseph Chevins will present argument to the relator. The relator has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. I'm Joe Chevins. I represent Relator Alcatel USA, which was formerly called BSC Communications. The real party in interest of, on the opposite side, is Samsung Electronics.
You're in trial as?
We are in trial as we speak. Opening statements are set for next Monday. We have been in continuous pretrial hearings before Judge Evans since the 1st of October. We're winding up ruling on exhibits. This case is very timely brought to this court at this time. Judge Evans is very aware of these proceedings. They go on, in fact, as we speak here, and has said that should this court vacate the Court of Appeals opinion, as we think it should, that these depositions will go forward during the trial of this case. As I said, opening statements begin next Monday. We will proceed with evidence through December the 16th, resume after the first of the year, with the conclusion of trial being in February.
He has set a schedule for how much time each side gets?
He has not yet imposed time limits.
Is he going to do that, where you'll have a definite date that you'll rest?
We will not have a definite date where we will rest. We do anticipate time limits, although he has said he has not finally decided that issue.
Well, if that information comes, would the parties notify the court by letter so that we'll have some sense of the time obligations on our part?
Yes, and with all respect to the court, although we realize and appreciate the court's very important function in writing law to guide practitioners and courts of this state, for the interest of justice in this particular case, we ask that the court immediately vacate the order of the Court of Appeals to permit us to go forward with these depositions, even if the court then chooses to articulate its reasons in an opinion to be issued later. We need these depositions, and we need them now. We need them in our part of the case. Making the orders of the court already are that if the depositions are to be taken, they're to be taken in Korea. There's a lead time involved in travel, of course, during the holiday season. There's a lead time in getting visas. The discovery master, Judge Andrews, will be accompanying us for these depositions to supervise the depositions, as he has already done in the summer of 1997 in Korea. And all of those logistics take some time. There are adequate resources amongst trial counsel to divide our forces. Judge Evans appreciates that.
Getting to the substance, you say you need these depositions.
Yes.
How is your case going to crumble? How is it that your case is going to fail absent these depositions?
Our case will not fail, Justice Evans. We have a good case. And
then
these
tell me why you need these depositions. Tell me why you need these depositions.
There are lots of situations where one obviously wants more evidence, the important evidence, to build the case. One doesn't want to go to the jury with the minimum 51% to satisfy the burden of proof. Here we are in a mature state. We passed all summary judgment hurdles.
Let me ask it this way. What is it that you cannot prove in this trial absent information you will gather by taking these two depositions?
There is nothing that we can't absolutely prove that satisfies our legal burden to get to the jury. It's what we can prove in so much more compelling a way because of the particular nature of the case.
And then more focused, what is it that these two individuals know that nobody else knows?
First, I think it's important to clearly understand the standard articulated by the court.
I understand that. I'd like my question answered first, though. What do these two people know that nobody else knows?
Chairman Lee, because of his unique position as the absolute apex of the apex, in ways that are almost inconceivable to us in dealing with normal American corporations, he sets the fundamental strategy of the company. That has been compellingly demonstrated in the record in the district court. He is the source of the strategy and direction by virtue of his position, by virtue of his stock ownership, and what this case involves. This case involves the most important corporate strategy of Samsung for the 21st century.
Mr. Stevens,
their keystone.
Is the test that no one else has knowledge of the information? Is that what the test is?
That's not the test.
What is it?
That's not the test. The test in Crown Central is whether we can arguably show, and the Court of Appeals missed it there. They required us to prove, without saying whether it's by preponderance of the evidence or what, but arguably show the official has any, not a great deal, not the only, but any unique or superior personal knowledge of, and here's another part of the test the Court of Appeals has, of discoverable information.
Well, what does unique mean? It doesn't mean that no one else knows the information.
It does mean that, Justice Gonzalez. And that is exactly what Chairman Lee does know. He is the only person at the top. He is a unique person within Samsung.
That's true of every corporation. They got one guy at the top. That's what apex depositions are all about.
That's correct. And what makes this case different from the run-of-the-mill case is that what is at issue in this case, what this case turns on, is the most important corporate strategy of Samsung for the 21st century. An expenditure, a planned expenditure to go into telecommunications of $4.5 billion.
Can you show some deposition testimony or some documents that indicate that? Well, I don't know, Mr. Lee does. I mean, when you had, how do you respond to the other side's argument that you had Mr. Kim and you didn't ask him any questions about what Mr. Lee or Mr. Kang knew or didn't know? And he said, I'm the buck stops here with me, and that doesn't seem to be challenged. How do you respond to that?
The point of Chairman Kim's deposition is not what Chairman Kim may have known Chairman Lee to. We can only find out for sure what Chairman Lee knows when we take his deposition.
Was there any indication that Chairman Lee knew something above and beyond what that level, Mr. Kim's level and below knew?
Yes, because of his unique position in the company.
It relates to your case.
It relates to our case because of the importance of this corporate strategy for Samsung. And his unique role as largest individual shareholder, son of the founder, chairman of Samsung Group, now chairman of Samsung Electronics.
What testimony is it about the corporate strategy that you think you can get from Mr. Lee that you can't get from subordinates?
Chairman Lee can give us the answers which we haven't been able to get of why it was that Samsung really had this almost incredible ambition to become a major world player in telecommunications, to come from nowhere, to fill that role. He is the only person who can tell us why it is that Samsung found it so important to get into telecommunications. He is the only person who can tell us how the telecommunications goal fits in with their total corporate strategy, because in this hierarchical structure, unlike American corporations, which have a truly deliberative board of directors, they don't.
Who have you put that question to? I don't see anything in the record, based on your papers at least, that say that he's the only person that could tell you that you've asked X, Y, and Z, that you sent interrogatories, that shows, yes, no one else has these answers. He's the only one that has this unique information.
He is, because he's the only one in that position. The others are people who know of the implementation of the strategy, the detailed formulation of the tactical steps by which this strategy was to be implemented. But he is the one that can answer the critical questions of why.
So what you're saying is there is no one in the entire company who knows where Samsung is going other than Lee. No one else has a clue where they're going. He's the master behind the curtain, and everyone else is just a functionary.
No, that overstates it. No, I'm not saying that.
Don't you think Mr. Kim, at least according to the deposition testimony he provided, indicates that he is an integral player in the direction that at least the telecommunications division is heading?
He is an integral player. He's in a step in the chain. We're talking about a pyramid. I would analogize this. If one were to want to take depositions about the strategy of the United States and D-Day, to say that Franklin Roosevelt didn't have any knowledge of that strategy and didn't really have a unique position in formulating that strategy, it would be absurd. Does he know the names of the company commanders? Does he know the specific tactics for assaulting the beach? No.
Let me ask you a hypothetical along those lines. Let's assume that some person who does business with the state of Texas is dissatisfied with the way things were handled. And they think that the reason things were handled the way they were is because of a policy that the state of Texas had. And there's only one person who ultimately is going to be in charge of directing that policy, and that would be the governor of the state of Texas. Why shouldn't, if a person makes an allegation that they think that the reason why we had this particular outcome is because of policies driven by the state of Texas, why shouldn't they be entitled to pursue the deposition of the governor in every one of those cases, which I submit to you would be numerous?
They certainly would be, and I think one would have to be very careful and look at the importance of the policy. Did it really come from the governor, or is the argument about the policy a make-weight? That's what we have in the other cases, is a make-weight importation of policy to try to justify.
And here, you have submitted zero evidence indicating that these policies came from Lee and Kang. What you want to do is to depose them to see if, in fact, they have instituted any policies that may touch upon your case.
I submit we have submitted compelling evidence.
Please
that they came from. Here it is, in part of the mandamus record, an essay written by Chairman Lee that reads directly on the strategy problems in this case.
Let me ask you, just before you detail that, what difference does it make if he developed strategy to go into telecommunications if he had nothing to do with implementing the strategy specifically as the DSC? In other words, if the decision was made at a lower level within the company that we think if we go raid DSC, that's how we can implement the strategy, and Lee doesn't know anything about that, what difference does it make that he developed the strategy?
Because we need to find out what policies and directives emanated from him about how these strategies should be implemented.
If he
not the details of who was involved or the particular technologies, but, for instance, what were their financial goals? What were the financial parameters? It's very important to have Lee's deposition for damages. It's very important to have it for punitive damage purposes. And
Isn't that one of the reasons that the Apex depositions are fought so hard over? Is because everybody wants to depose the CEO, because if he doesn't know anything, you can jack up punitive damages.
If he does know something bad, of course, you get punitive damages, so either way, you need the deposition.
Well, first, in not every case, is there a serious punitive damage fine. Here we're talking about theft of trade secrets, a violation of the Texas Theft Trade Secrets Act, where there's unlimited punitive damages. Punitive damages are a very important part of the case. Actual damages, our actual damage proof is past summary judgment, Robinson-Dalbert muster, is $425 million.
Any other questions?
One quick one, just to follow up to...
May I cite
sure.
the Chairman Lee essay, which is part, I think, answers your question, Justice Abbott, where he outlines the goals that came from him. It's dated August 28, 1997, just before the first hearing before Judge Andrews.
All right.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from Ms. Palmer.
May it please the court, Mr. David Healy will present argument for the respondent.
Your Honor, my name is David Healy. I represent the real parties in interest. I'd like to follow up on some of the questions the court asked my opposing counsel, and in particular, an analogy he drew where he said President Roosevelt would certainly know about D-Day. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you already had General Marshall in the deposition and General Eisenhower in the deposition, you'd ask them what the strategy was. The point here, Your Honor, is that...
Well, but under your theory, in the Microsoft case, the government couldn't have deposed Bill Gates.
Your Honor, I would disagree with that. Under our theory, what has happened here, and I have distributed in parts of the court that I think is helpful, DSC had the deposition of the CEO, Mr. Kim. As the court has noted, Mr. Kim testified he was the final decision maker, and he neither sought nor needed approval from Mr. Lee or Mr. Kong for the Dallas facility. In Mr. Kim's deposition, there were no questions put to him about what Mr. Lee's policies were, how he understood Mr. Lee's policies, or how those policies impacted his decision-making. Likewise, DSC also took the deposition of Mr. Song. Mr. Song had been...
Well, but I guess this again gets back to the basic test. I think under your opposing counsel's theory, they don't need to show that there are other people who have knowledge. They simply have to prove unique or superior. Now, I understand you disagree with that.
I think, Your Honor, that the test is, there are two ways to get to the same result.
Well, let's just presume that all they have to show is unique and superior. How would you analogize it to, for example, the Microsoft case, that the guy at the top is the one who has knowledge, unique and superior knowledge about the tentacles of the organization and how far they reach and overall strategy in a case involving unfair competition, which is different from, say, a personal injury type case.
I think the analogy, Your Honor, has to go first to look at the quality of the evidence in the record. And quality of the evidence in the record is that what DSC has come forward with were things like the Lee essay that Mr. Chevins pointed out to the court. They're high-level mission statements that basically come down to, let's design better products, let's be more competitive. And they're talking about being more competitive on a group level. Chairman Lee is the chairman of the Samsung group of companies, 50 companies in industries from electronics to shipbuilding to chemicals that are in all kinds of products and all kinds of product lines. Samsung Electronics Corporation itself, while the flagship of the Samsung group, is a $20 billion corporation, $20 billion in sales corporation, that is the world's largest maker of semiconductor memories. It is one of the largest makers of electronic consumer products, and telecommunications is but one part of Samsung Electronics Company. Here, what the evidence showed was that Chairman Lee, at the highest level, would make broad mission statements to inspire the group, in effect. And then the executive at Samsung Electronics, Mr. K.H. Kim, who was the CEO of this company with $20 billion in sales, certainly paid heed to Chairman Lee's inspirational mission statement, but that in fact, he set the policy for Samsung Electronics, he made the decisions, and he neither consulted with nor sought Chairman Lee's approval. I think that if you want to analogize this to Microsoft, It's K.H. Kim who would be the analogous role to Bill Gates. Yes, Bill Gates is the founder of Microsoft. Bill Gates could be the largest shareholder, I don't know. But Bill Gates is running the business. And it was only recently that Mr. Ballmer was made head of Microsoft. Here at the relevant time, it was K.H. Kim who was running the business. And further, if you look at the record evidence in detail, in Mr. Kim's deposition, he testified not only was he in charge of Samsung Electronics Corporation's CEO, but that he was the head of the group for all electronics businesses within the Samsung group of companies. They had their apex deposition with Mr. Kim. They had the opportunity to ask Mr. Kim, what are Chairman Lee's policies? How did they impact you? How did they impact the decision of the Dallas lab? The issues here are, was there a theft of trade secrets, and how was that affected, and whether or not that came from certain officials at Samsung. The people who know the answers to those questions are the actors. The actors are K.H. Kim, the CEO, who approved the lab, Mr. Y.R. Song, the head of the telecommunications business, who recommended the opening of the facility to Mr. Kim, and Dr. Lee, who was integral in opening the facility in Dallas itself.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Healy. If I claim that I've been harmed and I'm harmed by another company, and that the decision to come after me was a board level decision. There was 9-10 members of the board, and it was a board level decision. On that board, as an ex officio member, is the CEO of the company. But there's a chairman and there's the major shareholder who serves on that board. Is it your position that I, by my claim, it's a board decision, and I want to take the deposition of the chairman of the board, is it your claim that because any number of the other people up there would have access to that information, I could not take the deposition of the chairman?
Your Honor, my position would be that in order under Crown Central for you to take the deposition of the chairman, you have to come forward with evidence to show that the chairman had superior or unique knowledge.
And so it's not just the fact that they were a witness to the event and they participated in the event, but if there's anybody else who witnessed or participated in that event who is not higher than them, I have to take their deposition.
I think what Crown Central requires is that less intrusive means of discovery be attempted first, unless there's a particular reason to take an apex deposition.
What
particular
reason? Where in Crown Central did the court say that?
I believe in Crown Central.
Specifically, that's the test.
I believe that the specific test in Crown Central, Your Honor, is that when a party seeks to depose a corporate president or other high-level corporate official, and that official of the corporation files a motion for protective order to prohibit the deposition accompanied by the official's affidavit denying any knowledge of relevant facts, the trial court should first determine whether the party seeking the deposition has arguably shown the official has any unique or superior knowledge of discoverable information.
Period. Arguably, that's the test.
I think then you have to read the next sentence, Your Honor. And the next sentence says, if the party seeking the deposition cannot show the official has any unique or superior knowledge of discoverable information, the trial court should grant the motion for protective order and first require the party seeking the deposition to obtain the discovery through less intrusive means.
That means if you fail to show arguably that they had unique knowledge, then you've got to do some other depositions.
I think if you can't show that that corporate official has something to say that is important to your case and that isn't available from any other source, you've got to first go to lower-level officials.
There's nothing in Crown Central that says not available from any other source.
I think what Crown Central is saying, Your Honor, is that unique or superior knowledge, and if you don't have unique or superior knowledge, then you have to go to lower sources.
But in Crown Central, we said if the party seeking the deposition cannot show if it's has any unique or superior personal knowledge of discoverable information, then something happens.
Yes.
We didn't say what would happen if the party seeking the deposition can show the official has superior unique knowledge.
If they can show it, then under Crown Central, they do get to take the deposition.
So that's all they have to show is unique superior knowledge.
they have to show it's unique or superior knowledge. I believe that's correct. And
arguably show that, not prove it. Would you agree?
Not prove it beyond an evidentiary standard at trial, certainly, but I think arguably has to mean more than articulation and argument.
Would we then apply mandamus standards that if there's any evidence in the record that arguably supports that that official had information, then the trial court couldn't abuse its discretion?
I think, Your Honor, that what you have to do is look at the record to see if there is evidence that shows that there is a link between the apex witness to be deposed and the facts and issues in the case. Here, there's no evidence to make that link. The only evidence that Alcatel DSC has come forward with are these high-level mission statements that have no specific relationship to any of the decisions, any of the people, or any of the events at issue. And what they want to do is say, let us leapfrog over CEO Kim, let us leapfrog over Mr. Song, let us leapfrog over Dr. Lee. Don't require us to ask them whether or not there were policies that encouraged the theft of trade secrets. Don't require us to ask them how those policies may have impacted on their actions, because those people are the actors here. Instead, let us leapfrog above.
That only happens if you're correct that they could show that he had personal knowledge of some discoverable information.
I think, Your Honor, the evidence is clear that the only thing they were able to show regarding Chairman
There's
Lee,
no dispute in the record.
I do not believe the facts are controverted in the record, that they were only able to come forward with high-level policy and mission statements regarding Mr. Lee. The record shows that Judge O'Neill's reasoning behind saying that they could depose Chairman Lee was that he may have knowledge of policies that might impact on this case. The only other evidence they attempted to offer in this regard were some newspaper articles from the Korean press that talked about a report. Those articles are in the record attached to their motion. At page 21 of, I believe it was the September 19th, 1997 hearing, behind the record is tab 4. The discovery master sustained the objection to those articles, so I don't believe it's appropriate for them to argue that those articles are the basis for the decision below. But in fact, if you read these articles from the Korean press, what they talk about is the takeover of Kia Motors, potential takeover of Kia Motors by Samsung, as well as takeover of some other Korean companies. They have nothing to do with the expansion of Samsung into the Dallas area, or DSC, or any of the facts and issues in dispute. And furthermore, Chairman Kim, the CEO, said he'd never heard of or seen this so-called secret report that they attempted to use as a basis to bolster their request for Chairman Lee's deposition. So to answer your question, Your Honor, the uncontroverted evidence is that there are only these mission statements. There is the attempt by DSC to use some Korean newspaper articles to bolster the request for the deposition, but the discovery master sustained the objection to those articles. CEO Kim said he'd never heard of the report that was alluded to in those articles. And if you read the articles, which are attached to their motion, you'll see that they're talking in great detail about the concern in Korea for the potential destabilizing effect of Samsung taking over Kia Motors and some other Korean corporations. They don't refer in any way, shape, or form to anything to do with this case.
Can we talk about Mr. Kang for just a moment?
Yes.
There's a statement in the movie's brief, both briefs, about an action plan for development of next-generation telecommunication system that he has apparently received. And it had an organizational chart that showed DSC employees on it at the time they were DSC employees. Why isn't that some evidence that Mr. Kang may have unique or superior knowledge?
I think, Your Honor, that the question with Mr. Kang is whether, in fact, he has superior or unique knowledge as opposed to some knowledge. Mr. Kang is the, I believe at this point, 71 or 72-year-old chairman emeritus. At that point, he still held the title of chairman of Samsung Electronics Corporation, but the record evidence is undisputed that since 1993, he had functioned in a ceremonial role. K.H. Kim was the CEO of the company and neither sought nor needed approval for his actions from Chairman Kahn. There is record evidence that Dr. Lee, who is shown on my chart here, made a presentation to Mr. Kahn and Mr. Song, and that at that presentation there was a high-level overview given to Mr. Kahn of what was going on with the Dallas facility. Now, the reason why Mr. Kahn doesn't have superior unique knowledge is twofold. One, they've taken the deposition of Dr. Lee, who made the presentation, and they've gotten the documents that went with the presentation. So they've gotten the presenter, and they've gotten the presenter's materials. Second of all, Chairman Kahn attended that deposition really in more of a courtesy situation. It was presented to him along with Mr. Song.
Attended the what?
A courtesy or...
Attended the deposition?
I'm sorry, not deposition, the presentation. Mr. Song was also at this presentation. Mr. Song was the head of the telecommunications business. They've taken Mr. Song's deposition, and the undisputed record evidence is that it was Mr. Song who presented the plan for opening the Dallas facility to Mr. Kim for approval. They've taken one point Mr. Kim's deposition.
Well, based upon this answer then, I presume that if Mr. Kim were asked whether or not he was aware of any policies by Mr. Lee, and Mr. Kim said, yes, I'm aware of the policies, we had several conversations about those policies and the objectives behind Mr. Lee, your position would be that Mr. Lee would still not be subject to that position because that information was would be available for Mr. Kim, even though Mr. Lee participated in those discussions.
I think, Your Honor, that it would depend what the evidence showed. I think that the point of fact here is that DSC had the opportunity to ask CEO Kim those questions and did not.
I suppose they had.
I think then, Your Honor, if Mr. Kim was able to said, Mr. Lee reiterated these general high-level concerns, I took them back and went on about my business, then I don't think there would be any type of superior or unique knowledge that would be the subject to discovery under the APEX rule. I think if you look at how the courts have applied the APEX test, it's not enough that a corporate head, and here we're really not even talking about the head of the corporation, they've deposed the head of the corporation. They have deposed the CEO of the corporation at the time of a $20 billion in sales company. What we're talking about here is the head of the group of 50 companies. And if that man has no knowledge other than what the general direction of the corporation is, or the general plan of the corporation going forward, then I think under APEX, they're not entitled to that deposition. Because otherwise, in every products liability case, you could say we need to depose the chairman because he's going to tell us that they put profits before safety.
Well, let's talk about punitive damages for a minute. Let's say that the plaintiffs wanted to get evidence of a pattern or practice of corporate rating, for example. How could they ever do that without going to the top of the 50-person company to show other instances in other areas where they have shown a pattern or practice of rating companies to sort of jumpstart a fledgling business?
Your Honor, I have two answers to that. First, there is no such allegation here.
There's not?
There's not, and there's none in the records before you that I'm aware of. Second of all, Your Honor, the defendant here, the lead defendant here is Samsung Electronics Corporation, which is in and of itself a separate legal entity that has deposed from the CEO down of Samsung Electronics at the people at the relevant time. And they've had the ability to find out if Samsung Electronics had ever engaged in any such conduct. I would submit to you that if, say, Samsung Chemical Corporation 5 years previously had engaged in some type of corporate rating, that wouldn't be admissible or relevant under any stretch of the imagination in a case to present punitive damages against Samsung Electronics. I don't think you can, just as in a personal jurisdiction situation, you normally can't attribute the contacts between separately organized corporations to each other. So too, for punitive damages, I don't think you can take the conduct of a corporate entity that's not a defendant or a party, where there is no conspiracy allegation, and attribute that to the party. And as to the party here, SEC, they deposed the CEO. of FCC. They deposed the head of the telecommunications division. They deposed the man who set up the line.
And make sure I understand, neither, Mr. Lee is not the group that, he's the chairman of some group, but that group is not a defendant in the lawsuit.
Yes, Your Honor. At the time, I mean, there's a time switch here. At the time of the events at issue, K.H. Kim was the chief executive officer and held the title vice chairman of Samsung Electronics Corporation. J.K. Kong held the title of chairman, but he had no decision-making authority. It was all vested in Mr. Kim's CEO. There is a group of 50 companies, analogous to the concept of a conglomerate. It has companies in shipbuilding, insurance, investments, hotel, as we know, a baseball team. The whole big conglomerate of companies. At the time, Chairman Lee was referred to as the group chairman of all 50 companies. He held no office in SEC. He had no position in SEC. Now, he was one of 63 directors of the company, and as an individual, and the record's a little confusing here, but the evidence is he's the individual person who owns the largest percentage of SEC, 3.9%.
But there's no claim for damages, either punitive or actuals, against the group.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Let me ask you just real quickly the nature of the interest we're trying to protect here. It doesn't strike me that the Crown Central test is trying to import any sort of privilege on corporate managers, but just to prevent harassment. Do you agree with that?
Yes, Your Honor. I would agree that the point of Crown Central is to prevent the depositions of high-level corporate officials from being used as a litigation tactic to harass officials. Not that people aren't polite in deposition. In fact, Judge Andrews, when he talked about harassment in the record, he was referring to the fact that people had been very polite, and he didn't see any harassment based on how polite everyone had been. But it's not the point that you're polite, it's the point that you're able to do it at all.
And so you would agree it's not in the nature of a privilege, so that you have to then depose this one and this one and this one to lead up to show that this is the only one with superior, all you have to show is they have arguably unique or superior knowledge that could lead to discoverable evidence. And that's the reason.
I believe, Your Honor, that is correct, but I think that two things, if I may respond. One, arguably has to be more than any argument. It has to be an argument based on the evidence in the record. Second, Your Honor, I believe that superior unique knowledge means that you can't get it the same evidence from another source. And here what the record shows is there is no actual connection between the Chairman Lee and the facts that would show superior unique knowledge to any issue in the case. And second, DSC actually avoided using less intrusive means as a method to leapfrog to Chairman Lee's deposition. And Crown certainly prohibits that tactic.
Let me ask you a kind of a bigger picture question. Have you considered any amendments to, any changes to, any improvements upon the Crown Central test? And if so, have you considered any test used in any other jurisdiction which may be better than the Crown Central test?
Your Honor, I would just point out quickly that the Crown Central test and the test going back in the Liberty Mutual Court that the Crown Central test looked to for guidance have recently been expressly adopted by a federal court that was looking for guidance in this area. In the case of FMR versus Alliant Corporation, 51 USPQ 2nd, 1759, which is a proceeding before the Board of Patent and Trademark Appeals, the question of apex depositions came up. And there, because there is no guidance in the federal case law, rather the federal cases really have a very ad hoc approach, the Board of Patent and Trademark Appeals, in a purely commercial case under federal law, reviewed Liberty, reviewed Crown Central in detail, and found that the Crown Central standards were very useful and applied those in that federal commercial case. And so I think Crown Central gives us what we need, but it has to be followed, and it has to show, and all the Court of Appeals here did was say that under Crown Central, the uncontroverted evidence, there was no he said, she said in the evidence. The uncontroverted testimony that was put forward shows they didn't meet the burden. And the only dispute is what PSC claims those facts show. There is no actual controversy or conflict in the testimony or the record below.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Let me first observe that perhaps inadvertently Mr. Healy misstated a couple of facts. Chairman Lee is chairman of SEC, Samsung Electronics. The Samsung Chaebol has been disbanded by the Korean government, and upon its disbanding in 1998, before the May hearing before Judge Andrews, he was named chairman of Samsung Electronics. At all times, he was on the Samsung Electronics board. The article that referred to the strategic plan that was submitted to him, that article was presented to Judge Andrews at the September 97 hearing, and it was not objected to. It is part of the record. The articles that Mr. Healy refers to which there was objection, were articles submitted in the May hearing that had to do with defamation issues, which have been dropped out of the text. Now, the point of all this is not that these are just incredibly compelling facts one way or another. It's that I submit, Your Honors, we ought not to be here talking about detailed facts. We had two experienced trial judges here. The discovery master, who at the time of his final hearing, the first hearing in September 97, he had been on this case, had scores of hearings, hundreds and thousands of rulings on discovery issues in September. He then deferred ruling. We took Kim's deposition. By the time Judge Andrews ruled in May, this case was at a very mature state. There was a fully developed record, detailed record, far more record. We would have to sit here and argue an hour about this record for me to get all of the facts in front of you.
Let me ask you
what I submit.
Mr. Jones, let me ask you one question about the record. Where in the record does it show who the ultimate decision maker was in bringing over the DSC employees?
It shows it twice. In Mr. Donahoe's testimony in the September 97.
Wait, slow down.
The September 97 hearing, Mr. Donahoe, the general counsel, testified. I wish I had time to read it. I don't. It's at page 61 and 62 and 70 of the September 97 transcript. At the end of that, Judge Andrews ordered us to take Kim. Then by the time we got to him in May, Kim testified live at the May hearing. And Kim said so. Kim said at the May hearing, page 33, as far as I'm concerned, Chairman Rowe is concerned, it is not the case that he would be involved in day-to-day management of the company. Rather, his role was in terms of presenting what might be called the here and after type of strategic vision for the mid and long term with respect to the various disparate entities. That would be on a conceptual basis. That's what this case involves. Judge Andrews and later Judge O'Neill fully understood it. In our system, that until we went to the Court of Appeals, the system was working. Crown Central was working. Judges Andrews and O'Neill were applying Crown Central. They made specific findings under Crown Central. Where the system got off track, I submit, and got broken was when the Court of Appeals in Dallas substituted its assessment of the evidence for that of two judges, Andrews, who by the time he issued his final ruling had been involved in the case for 15 months. Judge O'Neill.
Is your best evidence in your brief?
The best evidence is absolutely in the brief. But again, I have to come back to the proposition that what is different about this case is this case involves corporate strategy. And if Mr. Healy and Samsung's view of Crown Central is accepted, if it unique means if he's the only one and only one with it.
Well, why doesn't putting profits before safety involve corporate strategy in a products case?
It does,
or corporate safety in a industrial accident case.
It may, and I think there is what's important is for the district court to sort through whether strategy was at the heart of the case or is strategy and policy being imported after the fact as a rationalization to try to get to a harassing deposition? Judge Andrews, who was familiar with the depositions, fresh back from Korea, made a specific finding in September 1997 in the record that these depositions were not sought for harassment. I submit to you that the proper functioning of our system says that this court and the Dallas court should respect that fact, Judge, and not substitute on the cold record before you your judgment for the facts. And
but
I,
that's,
I
not
say,
the, that's not the test. That he can find that, that's still not the Crown test. Mr. Healy says there's no evidence in the record to support that Mr. Lee arguably has unique or superior personal knowledge of discoverable information. And so I guess the question in my view is there any evidence in the record that would support the trial court's decision?
Yes, Justice Baker, there absolutely is, and it's cited in our brief. Okay. There absolutely is. But what has to be taken into account is what is the kind of evidence that is unique and superior in a case like this.
What is different about, to follow up on Judge Heck's question, what's different about saying we want to be a world leader in an industry that we're behind in, so let's go find some people who know about it at whatever cost? What's the difference between that as being the heart of this case and saying we want to make our cars cheaper and sell them higher than everybody else, so if we have to put the gas tank on the outside or have a park to reverse system that doesn't work, let's go ahead and do it and get our product out there. I don't see why this vision is more central to this case than to the ordinary product.
Because it what is different here is the vision of Chairman Lee was quite specific to telecommunications. It's as if in the products case, the decision to put the gas tank on the outside was the decision that determined the future of the company for the 21st century. I would say in that products case, yes, the chairman gets deposed. If it, though, is a detail that is just the implementation of a very vague policy of let's maximize profits, that's quite a different matter.
But if the vision is let's do well in telecommunications, is that enough to get a chairman of, doesn't it at least
no.
have to get down to it doesn't matter what the means are or break the law if you need to or something more than just we want to be the lead company?
Well, and it's not just we want to do well in telecommunications. It's what they had to accomplish to get there. The incredibly audacious goal to become number five from nowhere, to go from obsolete technology to becoming a world leader, top five. And if you look at Chairman Lee's essay, he says, our competitiveness we measured against the world's top companies is too weak to describe in terms. Then he goes on and says, we don't have time to do it slow. That is the policy that was implemented that we have proved in this case. And it is vitally important that we show this fundamental policy, this fundamental strategy, came from the kind of corporate culture and this vision of Chairman Lee. He is apex like nobody is apex, and is implemented in this particular case.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument, and the second pause, and the court will take another brief recess.
Yes, please.